From KQED News, I'm Joshua Johnson. California's drought is pushing some farmers in the Central Valley to grow food with less water. Scientists are analyzing the nutrition content of those drought-stressed crops. Some of the results surprised them. KQED Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca has the story.
It's lunchtime at the Ferry Building Farmers Market in San Francisco.
These are dry farm early girl tomatoes.
Can I have another one?
Yes, you may.
God, it's so good. There's so much flavor.
One booth that's bustling here, Dirty Girl Farms. Sure, the name's enticing, but it's the free tomato samples that really seem to pull people in.
The biggest thing that makes them special is the dry farming method.
Tristan Cavello sells these tomatoes, which are grown near Santa Cruz, without irrigation.
Once we put the tomato plants into the ground, after they've got some roots, we don't water them again, and so they have to find their own water. And because of that, they'll grow really deep roots to find lots of great nutrients and minerals that makes them really delicious.
150 years ago, most crops in California were dry farmed. Today, some 70% of the state's farms rely on irrigation. An intricate web of dams, canals, pipes, and sprinklers has transformed the arid Central Valley into the nation's most productive farm belt. But is all that water really necessary?
So the important thing is to go really slowly. The soil is very dry right now, so you need to give it time to absorb the water.
Tiziana Centofanti is carefully hand-watering some pomegranate trees with a tiny bucket. She's a plant research scientist at a USDA experimental farm south of Fresno.
My research interest is about physiological responses of plants to stresses, and drought is one of those.
Some of these pomegranate trees are pretty stressed out. Centofanti's watering them with solutions of salt, boron, and selenium, natural elements in the soil on many Central Valley farms that are also struggling with drought.
You will definitely see that those trees are much, much smaller.
And so is the fruit on them. Centofanti has other plots she's nursing along with as little as a third of what the trees would normally drink. These trees are all growing to the usual height, but their fruit is cracked, so you can see the pomegranate seeds peeking out like tiny rubies. In the lab, Centofanti squeezes the fruit and peel into juice, shakes it on a magnetic stirrer, and analyzes it with liquid chromatography. And the data, she says, confirm her suspicions.
Does not affect the fruit quality, so nothing, no differences at all.
Preliminary results from this study show the water-starved pomegranates still have all the normal levels of antioxidants, vitamin C, and other nutrients. And those tiny pomegranates grown with the salt and boron, they seem to have double the antioxidant content of trees grown under normal conditions.
Plants, when they are stressed, they tend to produce higher content of phenolics, antioxidants.
In other words, the trees come out fighting, releasing more protective chemical compounds. Centofanti's starting to try this out on other crops, like peaches. But the peaches she's grown so far with less water are tiny.
It seems like the education is with the consumer. A smaller peach, a smaller pomegranate might be just as good, if not better, for you.
I believe that if we're able to market this fruit as environmentally friendly because it uses less water and it's grown in the Central Valley where we have so much drought problems, then consumers will be happy to buy that kind of fruit.
That theory is being tested in the trenches of California's Fruit Bowl, big Central Valley farms like this one.
So we have probes in the soil that measure the amount of available water in the ground.
Andrew Zaninovich runs Sunview Vineyards near Bakersfield. He's working with the USDA researchers on a test plot of table grapes. He waters sometimes half as much as his other vines.
To the layperson, yeah, they do look pretty green and healthy, but to me, the one who's responsible for delivering a box of fruit that a consumer would be happy with, this is a problem.
Zaninovich takes a quarter out of his pocket and holds it up next to a bunch of grapes. It's a farmer's trick to get a sense of their relative size.
We've got a lot smaller berries here, so this wouldn't be commercially acceptable. So
they want big, juicy-looking grapes.
They want big, juicy-looking grapes, exactly.
So much for the idea that consumers might actually want to buy grapes grown with less water, even if they're small.
Might not fly at the scale you guys are doing business.
That's a really niche, high-risk approach. We need to have something that's mainstream, that the consumers around the world agree on is a desirable package.
So if Zinanovich isn't seeing promising results from growing fruit with half the water, why is he sticking with the experiment?
There's a term that's used, drops per crop, and I think that we just need to figure out how to maximize that efficiency. It's worth the exercise, it's worth the experiment, it's worth the loss just to learn.
Meanwhile, researchers in Mexico, Asia, and Spain produced hotter jalapenos by giving them less water. But when growers in Santa Clara and San Benito counties tried repeating the experiment, the results were only lukewarm. I'm Sasha Coca, KQED News.
And I'm Joshua Johnson. You'll find pictures of some of this drought-grown produce online at kqed.org/science.
Support for KQED science and environment coverage is provided by the S.D. Bechtel Jr. Foundation, the David B. Gold Foundation, and the Dirk and Charlene Cabsonell Foundation.